Welcome back to another episode of Bleed Black and Gold, a Bruins podcast presented by the Boston Sports Syndicate. Michael Travers bringing it to you. Alongside me, I have Wabba Plays. As always, Wabba, how are we doing today?
I am well, and I'm with a mic limiter.
And before I explain that, we also have our third voice, Ryan Daly. Ryan, what's going on?
Not too much. Bruins look good.
So the joke behind the mic limiter is my dumbass recorded not only this episode, but the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast episode at my new place for the first time and never switched the mic input from the webcam to my actual, you know, nice microphone that I have set up with the nice little mic arm and the MXR mixer or whatever it is. So apparently you could hear cars in the background from the old street. So apologize for that. Thank you for sticking through it. But here we are. So
live on location from the Denny's parking lot, recording on the Bruins just for you.
I was in the Garden parking lot. That's why.
Yeah. Word on the street, pasta.
Wow, crazy. But, you know, we're on good pace here because we recorded last Monday and now we're recording this Monday. So, you know, this, you know, two, I wouldn't call a habit, but we're getting pretty close.
Three's a streak,
right? So, so we're getting pretty close. But since we have last month, the Bruins have played four games and the Bruins have won themselves four games. When we were last recording, they were beating the Caps. They were beating down the Caps, you know, as we spoke, and then they went on to beat the Canadiens, and then they went on to beat the Flyers in a pretty important game on the season, and then they beat the Predators Saturday in overtime, which was an exciting game and I think another good game. So three important games they've played since we last met, all for different reasons. So obviously they've kept the streaks alive. So Ryan, what you led us off by saying, you know, the Bruins are hot. So why don't you expand on that a little bit?
I mean, they look good, and they've been dealing with, like, which I think is kind of like a underlining story, but they've been dealing with some, like, COVID issues and injury issues. Like, I know Clifton was out for a couple of games. Foligno's been out for a while, which they both skated today. I mean, who else? Like, I feel like the bottom six has been kind of rotating game in and game out. And they've been producing. Those players have been stepping up and playing well. And for the Bruins to have that depth and get that continued secondary scoring that was the issue starting the season is nice to see. I mean, the Bruins are 8-1 since the start of the new year. 5-game win streak. Let's go. We're finally starting to see some Bruins hockey.
Wabi, you have anything to add to that?
I forget the guy's name because who was the guy that just showed up? It's like they just signed him off the street because of the COVID protocol. Lewington. Yeah, they asked they didn't have anyone, so they went to the legal department and they like accounting and they got Lewington to hop in there. Not bad. Actually did decent, but it was like weird to see, like, to your point, like some of these names come up and like you start to get scared when they like resign like Stempniak or whatever, and it's like, oh Christ. But the people they've been plugging in are good, and also the people they've been bringing up from Providence are also meeting the expectation, which is very good when you get production out of the young kids.
So I know we talked about it briefly. I guess not really briefly, but we talked about it last time with them changing the top two lines, and it feels like it's almost ignited the entire team. Like, obviously, yeah. it's ignited those two lines, and you're letting, you know, two pretty good goal scorers in Marchand and Pastrnak kind of have some freedoms on their own lines, and then they don't have to share the puck, so, like, they both can shoot just a million times a game. But it also seems to have sparked Coyle has slotted down into the third line, which really that's where Charlie Coyle probably should be, is that third line center role, overpay, $5.5 million a year for a third line center? Way to go. Good job, Sweeney. But he's from Weymouth, so... What can you do? But
hometown guy.
Yeah, hometown guy. But no, it just seems like since they've come back from their little COVID break, the whole team has seemed to right now it's working. Now, I mean, I still have a lot of concerns, and you're right. It was Lewington, like he steps up and just gets right back in gets right into a role like he has been there all year. Thank you for finishing that as I vomited on myself. And and so, I mean, it just it looks like the whole team has really just all of a sudden gotten a little spark. I mean, quickly approaching has got to be the trade deadline. I don't know exactly when it is. I'm sure it's coming. I think it's the end of February, isn't it? So it's quickly approaching. And March 21st, so the end of March. But I'm still a little concerned with left-handed shot defenseman, because I don't love any of them really. Forbert, Riley, Vaakanainen, Grizzlick, don't really love any of them. So, but the team has looked good. And didn't they go back to back hat tricks? Was it Marchand against the Canadiens and then Marchand against the Capitals and then Pasternak against the Canadiens? So, and it almost didn't really click until I was watching the Preds game and watching. I think it was Marchand scored in that game, and it was on. I know it was on the power play, but I just kind of clicked that by splitting those two up, you're letting both of them shoot. They don't have to share the puck anymore. You're allowing your two best goal scorers to actually score goals. And I think that's like kind of something that has been not lost. I think it's obvious, but it's not something we didn't mention last time at splitting them up. But the whole team to me has just looked like a completely different team over this last 10 game stretch or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like in Yu-Gi-Oh! When they go, you have activated my trap card.
Nope.
Throw Pasternak onto that second line, and it's like he uncovered something that was like obvious, just not done. And I know we talked about Krejci last time. Like, Krejci's guys just being shambles right now, knowing that in an alternate universe, it's like him and Pasternak just buddying it up. But it's working, and it's working good. And the proof is in the ear. Like you said, they're 8-1. I mean, give me more of that, please.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, they didn't really beat anybody, when they went through that little streak of the Devils, Sabres, Red Wings, whatever, and then they beat the Lightning, and then they beat the Capitals, and then they beat the Predators. And it's like, okay, well, now I just have to eat my words here, because now they're just beating anybody. So they're beating whoever's on the schedule. So,
bring another challenger.
That's what it feels. That's honestly, in comes Carolina tomorrow. But I mean, and then the Capitals again. They got a tough little stretch here. Then the Jets, then the Ducks. Like it's a tough little stretch here for them. But they really have. They've looked good. They've looked like it's starting to make sense. They're clicking. Obviously, I talk about the three big games this week. Predators is obvious. They're the number one seed on the West. They're not the best team technically because of percentage points, and the Avalanche are better than them. But they were the number one seed out in the West. When they played, they got the overtime victory. I don't mind the overtime wins if they're playing Western Conference teams. Like that, you don't want to see it in the East, or especially in your division, because you don't want to give up free points. But they probably should have closed that game. They went up 2-0 and then gave away the 2-0 lead, so you don't love that. But they got the extra point. They got that win. Canadiens, for obvious reasons, with the rivalry. But that Flyers game. So in true typical Boston Sports Syndicate fashion, We click that post button on a new episode. We don't release an episode for 3 weeks. Not much happens. I mean, there's things that happen, but like nothing really major happens. We record a nice little episode, and then we hit that post button, and sure enough, Tuukka Rask officially signs, gets off the tryout, and officially signs a 1-year, $1 million contract, which I believe all told he only is going to get $550,000, $580,000, something like that. We talked about it briefly, but he plays in that Flyers game and plays well.
He's really good.
Looked,
he has some big challenges too.
Looked good in that.
Like, I mean, five breakaway goals, and it was like he never left.
Yep, he looked good. So I want Waba, your thoughts on them now finally bringing them back, and what you thought about his first game and all that great stuff.
I mean, it's Tuukka. Like, you know what you were getting. Obviously, he's better than the two you had. I know we've talked about that, like, at length. But, like, there were two. I think, like, Atkinson had one. Like, there's one other guy. It was just, like, the defense was just giving up these, like, bungus, like, just breakaways. And he's just shutting them down. And, like, to hear him go, Tuukka, it was like, not that we were missing it because we had great goalies. But it's like, did Swayman save that? Does Omark save them? Does he save both? And it was great to see them kind of like, it was like the team helped bring that game back. I know they won, or was that an overtime game, or am I getting that confused with the...
No, they won in regulation. They won in regulation. Okay. There we another go. Game that they, I think they went up 2-0 in that game too, but anyway. They won, yeah, they scored a late goal, I want to say.
That's right. But it was great to see that. The only thing that I think...
Nope.
The only downside...
Late in the second. But anyway.
The only downside of Tuukka being back is at the end of the game, you see Allmark like hug himself. I'm so sad for them. And dude, Swayman changed his jersey number to Allmark's number because the other guy had one. It's like they just go in the ice and they just hug themselves. And I miss that together.
That's
the Romeo and Juliet story, but in Finnish.
That makes you soft a little bit.
I'm sorry that I fought in romance.
That's the dad in you, I think.
You just like Tuukka at the end of the game, like, hey, headbutt. Yeah, just give me a concussion, the whole team. That's way better.
I just like Tuukka because he wins. I don't care about the hugs. Just give me a win.
Yeah, right.
I don't care about the hugs.
Tuukka just takes everyone in the nuts after the game as long as he gets a dub.
Yeah, as long as
not gonna lie, I did like stay tuned to the end of that game to see what was gonna happen between Allmark and Tuukka. Whether they were gonna take over that little like bromance, or they was just gonna be like your normal pat on the head and be like, good game.
Tuukka flips him off. Are they both in the same country?
I actually don't know where Allmark's from.
Allmark? I feel like it's Scandinavian.
Did you see Tuukka take his skate blade off and like go after Allmark after the end of the game?
One is Swedish, one is Finnish, so they don't get along.
That's already, they don't get along.
They naturally hate each other. Natural enemies.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Natural enemies. And Allmark. And Swayman's from... From Alaska. So he just loves everyone.
Good thing we don't have a Russian goalie.
He just loves everyone because he just finally gets human interaction. So he's like, he just loves it.
He only gets to see three people a year.
Yeah, right.
So.
Exactly.
Isn't it like 30 days of that? I know they had a zombie movie up there, but don't they not have the sun for like 5 months? Goalies are weird.
I don't know if that's how that
don't
works.
Don't fact check that.
There is no sunlight for like X amount of days. I don't know the exact number. I'm sure we could hit the Google machine and figure that out, but...
No, I mean, Tuukka here, Tuukka back, Tuukka good.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great to see Tuukka back. He looked good. You think he gets a start tomorrow night against Carolina?
So that was going to be my next question is, I mean, how do you see them handling the goalie situation throughout the rest of the year? I mean, to me, it almost feels like it's going to be a 1-1-1-1, and it's just basically like, okay, it's your net this game, my net next game. I guess tomorrow night's the first night we'll actually see, because I want to say the Flyers game and the Canadiens Flyers game was a back-to-back, so it makes sense that they would use both. And then, you know, the next game was Allmark's game if they're following that. So tomorrow I think will tell us really what they're thinking as far as the goalie situation goes. And what's nice is Allmark has been playing well, so it almost feels. Yep. And if you can ease Rask back in and kind of have a 1A 1B like you were supposed to have with Halak, then I think. I mean, obviously your goalie situation is better now. You brought in a goalie who's better than both of the goalies that you had, like Wava said. But yeah, I do think he gets a start, and I think that you're just gonna see alternating starts for pretty much the rest of the season, unless someone really really gets hot, then they might stick with that one, but.
Allmark, I think, is better than Halak. And if you're Allmark, like, you know you better play well because Tuukka's not going anywhere. And if you messed up, Swayman's taking your job. So,
well, I mean, Rask only signed a one-year deal. So it was just a single year. So he just has to get through this year. And Allmark, to me, is still the goalie of the future with that contract. He's got to be the goalie of the future.
I remember everyone was super, including us, were super worried at the beginning. But, like, Allmark, he played in Buffalo. Like, you know, is he even going to be good? Yep.
Yeah.
I think so.
Turns out he has been good.
Yeah, he's starting to... I mean, there's a good chunk of time there. I was nervous when he was in net, but I'm starting to see him being more comfortable in this system and being more comfortable on this team, which I don't think he was at the start of this year. Which, I mean, it's kind of to be expected with anybody going to a new team. You got to kind of find your groove. But I'm starting to feel comfortable with Allmark and that.
See,
not
everyone
treating
feels
him like a backup.
it feels like to me like everyone has kind of found their groove. And you know, I like to deep think about these kind of things. Like, why are they playing better all of a sudden? And it's like, well, the obvious answer is they broke up the best line in hockey. It's like, well, that doesn't really make sense. But you know, that obviously that's a contributor. And I started wondering, like, I wonder if it really had to do with getting back to a normal schedule. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you really think about it, they haven't been in a normal NHL-type schedule for almost a year and a half. Because you remember the league got shut down, and they went to the bubble. And then last year, they didn't do much traveling. They stayed inside the division. They played the same six teams. The furthest they went was Philadelphia, Pittsburgh? Like, they didn't travel. They didn't do it. And now this year, they're out traveling. You know, you're playing in full arenas for the most part. You haven't played in front of fans in a year and a half. So I wonder if there was much of an adjustment there. And I don't know, and I don't think we'll ever really know the answer, but it just kind of, I mean, I'm wondering if it kind of plays a little bit of a factor, and the team just wasn't ready to get back to a regular type of schedule. And
they actually have like consecutive games and not like,
yep, exactly. That was gonna be my other point.
One game and then 10 days off and then one game. Like, how can you get into a rhythm doing that? You know?
Right. Well, now they're just going to wear themselves out, and that'll be the complaint. You know, we complained 2 months ago that they didn't have enough games, and now we're going to complain in about a month and a half here. The month of February is brutal. Mm-hmm. And we'll complain about that, and then they'll suck, and we'll make excuses for them that they have tired legs. But it is brutal. But I don't know. It's just something that I thought of to try and think outside the box. Like, I wonder the long term COVID lasting impact has here on the way that the teams perform to start the season. But
Want to know who doesn't have tired legs? Steen.
Tuukka Rask?
No, Steen's got friggin' like stumps, dude.
We're doing this again. You want to talk about his legs again?
Let's just see how many episodes in a row we can talk about Steen's legs.
that dude's never getting tired.
Waba made his quads this background picture on his phone. I can see it. Replaced his dog and his daughter with Steen's quads.
I'm gonna just have his quads, dude. I don't
need a quad. Anyways, the thing that blows me away is the people who are genuinely upset that they brought back Tuukka Rask. And it's like you know you might have a leg to stand on if you're complaining that they brought back Tuukka Rask if he didn't sign for legitimately nothing. And like, I can understand the Swayman thing. Like, I get it. But doesn't Swayman just feel like one of those cute stories? Like, Alaskan kid, kind of weird, got a personality, had some success, but like, you're really not going to re-sign Tuukka Rask for that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, and he signed for pennies.
Right.
He could have signed in Edmonton.
Imagine this story if he loses that game.
Oh, I know.
So it's all
the
like.
The Tuukka haters would be out in waves.
Yeah.
So I think the impression of it, obviously we like the signing. I think we're all Tuukka fans. But, like, you know, there are probably some people who, if he loses, the conversation's different. Was it worth it? Get Swayman in there. He's going to blow us. Like, all this stuff, like, they're just projecting for, like, whatever.
Yeah, but it's only one game. And that's what I would have said in that situation. It's only one game. Now, I know it's only – I mean, I'm not sitting here saying he's the savior. And, I'm not going to pretend like that's the case either, because it was only one game. But – on paper, he's better than both the goalies you have. On paper, you have a legitimate number one goalie, assuming health, which I think is really the biggest question mark here, is the longevity of the health. But I know he can't play the big games, and I'm the first one to criticize him about his bubbly guts. I understand that, but it makes sense. Like, this is something that you like. This is something that you like think of like when you're 12 and you just want your favorite player to come back, and you're like, he'll sign for $1 million and just come back and play. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, that stuff doesn't, like, these type of things don't happen. You just brought back a Vezina winner? Winner? Does he have a Vezina? He has a Vezina.
He has a Vezina. Yeah,
you brought back a Vezina winning goaltender for $1 million. And you can't tell me, I'm sorry, but you cannot. And you know what? Credit goes to Rask here on this one. Credit goes to Rask here for doing this, because you cannot tell me that he couldn't have signed out in Edmonton or
Toronto.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he could be playing with McDavid right now. McDavid and Draisaitl.
$20 million.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but you know,
well, finish cards at you, Kronos.
Oh, and the Canadian? That's how it works?
I literally have no idea. I just use Swedish currency for Finnish.
But I mean, credit to Rask for doing it. I don't know if I want to give credit to Sweeney, because I don't ever like giving credit to Sweeney. But I mean, honestly, you know who it's probably credit to, truthfully?
Me.
Bergeron.
Oh, yeah.
Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak, maybe even McAvoy. The guys that he's played with, and he like talk about a hometown discount. Again, stuff that you just like, this is like what you dream. Oh, Krejci will come back and he'll give us a hometown discount. Like maybe Rask can call him up and be like, no man, it's still great here. Come over, and then he'll sign for $1 million.
Tuukka is the Tom Brady of the Bruins.
Write an article about it.
That's the answer is gonna be Tuukka the Tom Brady of the Bruins. The answer is gonna say no.
No. <That's gonna> be... but I mean it is, and I'm sure it has something to do with that leadership group and Tuukka. I mean it's. I think it really has something to say about him and his character to come and sign for $1 million just because, almost because he said he would. You know what I mean? Like he said it, he did it, and now we'll see. I love the
banter with him and Bud Light, though, because he also said he signed for a generous amount of Bud Light, so Bud Light drew up a contract that said, all right, we'll give you a lot of Bud Light if you come back to the Bruins, you drink Bud Light during a presser, and you drink Bud Light out of the Stanley Cup. And they both signed it and posted it on Twitter.
I saw that.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I think it's good on everyone except Sweeney, but good on everyone. But anyway,
I won't take the Sweeney bashing.
Come on, you gotta take the Sweeney bashing. What has the guy done for the organization over the last 5 years?
That was a legitimate
question. Oh, you don't know. He's drafted like. The only reason why he doesn't get bashed on his drafts is because Bill Belichick's in town. But if Bill Belichick wasn't here, he would get bashed on his drafts because he's bad. He doesn't draft. He oversigns his own players and hasn't. I mean, I guess he traded for Hall. I was gonna say hasn't really made a splash.
He's re-signing Chris Kelly as a coach.
Yeah. His own guys. That's what I'm saying. Just look at Coyle. Perfect example. Nick Ritchie. That was a Sweeney signing.
Former first line Toronto star Nick Ritchie,
who got waived and nobody wanted him.
Yeah, he got the Evander Kane treatment.
Maybe not so.
Why is that? You got some insider sources?
Yeah, I talked to Connor McDavid the other day. He DM'd me on Instagram because
that was nice one.
He's super nice. I was tweeting about Chili's. He's a big fan, and the rumor is Edmonton for Kane.
Makes sense.
Because they don't – someone asked him about it during a press conference, and I haven't – I've read the Twitter headline, and I've internalized, and I've made my own quote.
Typical.
But, no, I actually think that, the question was asked him, what do you think with all the current, and he basically said, I don't – in essence, I don't care. But obviously a more tactful way, we want the best guy. You know what I mean? And also, go do your own research on that. I know you're listening to this for information. You're not listening to me for information. Go listen to mine. But I think Edmonton is probably the landing spot just based on the things I've seen on the Twitter machine. Even though we were talking about him here. But with that being said, after the last few games, I don't even know if I want him here. Because
he's taking DeBrusque's spot.
So here's the thing. With how DeBrusque has been playing, do you still trade him?
Yes.
Even after all the positive play?
It's helping you. That's only helping your cause right now.
What do you trade him for? Defenser or defender?
I'd love to, but I don't.
Who?
You know, I want a left-handed defenseman. That's really what I want. And there's the problem is the money. So you have Giordano in Seattle. You have Oliver Ekman-Larsson in Vancouver. You have I don't know who else is. Who else is not great in the NHL?
I'm trying to see.
Giordano would make the most sense to me, but
Lindbergh is a huge, probably the best defender trade piece. I just don't know what shot he is. He's a righty.
Klingberg from Dallas?
Yeah.
He's not getting traded.
He's on the third line right now.
He asked for a trade.
He did?
They're playing him on the third line.
He's right.
I meant to bring that up last week.
And he's on the last year of his deal.
But we ran out of time.
He's right-handed anyway.
Okay, so not even a problem. I'm used to Hutt, so that's why I see right shot, blue on the left.
Oh, yeah, he plays on the left. Yeah, no, not the way it works. not the way it works.
That's too bad. But I agree. I definitely think we need someone over there. But, I mean, if DeBrusk is a piece, fine. But I don't know. It's interesting to see who's out there.
Yeah, I would say the two. Who did I just mention? Ekman Larson and Giordano. Shane Gostisbehere in Arizona.
Isn't Gio the captain? Arizona.
Gio is a captain, yeah.
Dude, they're gonna be the they're gonna be the Bruins part two over there.
They're the worst team in the league right now. Who like?
No, but think about it. They're gonna have Arizona. Technically Montreal is.
Montreal is, yeah.
And they just picked up, what is it? They got someone else over there that we didn't want.
Who?
And then they just picked up Coleman.
Who?
Who did? Arizona picked up Coleman?
No. Seattle.
So that was interesting. My Skype just force closed right in the middle of us having our conversation about Coleman. So I am hopeful now that the recording will line up and we go and I go back into it and we can figure this out. So if the conversation sounds a little weird, sorry, my bad. But you can check it out on our YouTube because that never loses service. So Big Country will put it up on his YouTube and you can see the whole episode. You can even see us talking about how we were going to make this happen live and on the go. So anyway, Seattle gets Coleman. Seattle blows. So, I mean, they
only had a chance to draft one player from every team.
Yeah,
shake and bake like Vegas did.
Right.
Cowards.
Right, but they fell for it and took all, like, oh no, don't take this guy and do this instead. So they fell for it.
They traded for Washington's goalie and they
gave
him back.
Right back.
The hostage exchange. Come on, guys.
But the point is to get yourself a left-handed defense. So the question started with DeBrusk and trading him. And would you trade him? And the answer is still yes, because one, he asked for a trade, so he doesn't want to be here. Don't ever want a guy here that doesn't want to be here. Never, ever, ever. You could tell me Patrice Bergeron asked for a trade, and I'd tell you that you need to trade him, because if a guy doesn't want to be here, that's it. That's it. That relationship is over. It's done. So him playing better is just more beneficial for the Bruins. So it's going to up his trade value, and it won't just be a dump, and it won't just be a – no, I'm not saying that – DeBrusk alone will get you a Giordano or an Ekman Larson or maybe Gostisbehere. That's something to think of.
Why didn't we pick the ghost up first?
But he was on waivers. But the question is because of his salary. The question is Gostisbehere worth? Would he be your number one left-handed defenseman? And to me, I don't know. He's just another Grizzlick-ish type. He's a little bit bigger, but he's just another Grizzlick type.
Yeah, but imagine if him and so I mean you keep Grizz, you keep McAvoy, then you have Ghost and Carlo, which is like, I think that's a pretty good D. That's a tough, big defense pairing.
I mean, it could be Ghost Despair is more of a puck carry. He's like a bigger Krug, but he also hasn't performed like he did when he was in Philadelphia in 4 years, whatever it is. So you fall in love with the name from 4 years ago, but it's just something to think of. And then it gets even more complicated because you need them to retain salary, and so it's like. It's probably a pipe dream, but yes, I still trade DeBrusk. I think you have to, honestly.
That's fair.
Well, like did you guys watch the game on Saturday, that Nashville game?
I did.
I was rooting for DJ. So I did.
That's a different.
I could watch Matt Duchene play 82 games a year. I know it's for your hot card. I know, but I only care
after one goal. I don't care. I don't give a rat's butt about him anymore.
I love watching Duchene play. I used to love watching him play in Ottawa too. I love watching Duchene play. But anyway, what were you saying?
So that was probably like the closest to a playoff atmosphere game that we've seen so far.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You know what I noticed when that game was starting to get chippy and the hits were flying. Jake DeBrusk kind of pulled back. He kind of like strayed away from a lot of those, you know, getting into those dirty areas.
Oh, so you're saying he's soft?
Yes. S-A-W-F-T, soft.
Soft, soft, soft.
Soft, yeah.
So, I mean, like, if...
Wicked soft.
Do you want that kind of player on your team come playoff time?
I don't necessarily want him on my team at all because I don't think he's that good. But the other part of it is I also don't want a player. I mean, it's tougher. I mean, Lucic is tough. I don't want him on my team either. But so, like, it's not so much about, like, his toughness that I mean, yes, it's a factor, but I also just don't want a player who doesn't want to be here. I don't think that you're going to get 100% out of a player that doesn't want to be here. And the other thing is, like, how effed up does your mentality have to be that you want out of a team that has Patrice Bergeron on it? Like, how do you not want to play with Patrice Bergeron?
I realize he's the best winger in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's another good one. Like, it's like, how can you – and I understand it's because of management, it's because of Sweeney, it's because of coaching. Like, I get that, but – I don't know. It's like you kind of, you know, in a team rooted in shut up and do your job, and kind of in a city rooted in shut up and do your job. Like if you are just think about how this city is. Like if you ask for a trade, you become public enemy number one. You shut your mouth and play a little bit better. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, look at DeBrus, like showing up, okay. And you know, we score a couple of goals. Like think about Marchand could come out and ask and say he wants to be traded and people would still love him right now. Like it's the way that this city is just it's so what have you done for me lately and so diehard that if you want results, like don't ask, like if you want more playing time, you don't ask for a trade to try and you know, have the chips or control the hand so that you get more playing time. You earn it. You get out there, you earn it, and guess what? The fans will recognize it. And it's not a good thing that Ryan's watching the game and notices that the contact picks up and he starts to shy away. That's the kind of stuff that you notice, and you don't want a guy like that. And if he doesn't want to be here, even less. Bye, see ya. Gotta go. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
That's what those fourth line guys breathing down your neck. I forget which game, but they like it was the ESPN game with the camera angles from the freaking Raptors. But like they went on like a soliloquy about the fourth line, and you know I love those guys, like I do. But like the fact that they had enough notes about like the Bruins fourth line, like, and this isn't even the Merlot line from, you know, days gone by, like he's one colossal screw up from just getting yeeted because they've got people ready to go
from getting yeeted.
Oh yeah. So it was surprising to me. I mean, I'm happy DeBrusque has done what he's done. I know I didn't like the part where he asked for a trade behind closed doors. Fine. But I mean, at least he's been good. We're not sitting here being like, the guy wants a trade, he's a bum. We're like, he wants a trade, you know, you might not like his toughness, but he's not a bad player, and he'll be great in Arizona.
Playing alongside Phil Kessel. He'll be great.
Louis Erickson.
Yeah, what a line. What a power play unit.
Imagine they trade him for Phil Kessel, and then he's stuck with, like, no one.
Oh, I mean, that's basically what happens. We won't even have a home at the end of the season. Arizona doesn't even have a home, so yeah, they won't have a place.
High school rink.
Yeah, they won't have a place to play. Played Arizona State's rink. But the funny thing you mentioned about him being yeeeted off the team if his thing goes away. Doesn't it feel like out of the bottom six spots on the team? So the third line and the fourth line, Waba. That's the bottom six. The
quick math.
The third line and the fourth line is your bottom six. So in your bottom six, doesn't it feel like now five of the six spots are just interchangeable? Like, and what I mean is, like, it could literally be one night. It could just be. Actually, this is a perfect example. The other day, a guy and I were talking at work. Both of us watch the Bruins. Both of us are Bruins fans. We're like, who's the third line right wing right now? And we both thought about, and neither one of us could come up. It's Steen. Steen's the third line right wing right now. Yeah. But neither one of us. We were like, is it Steen? No. Is it? Who is it? And outside of Coyle right now, which probably should be on the second line, but outside of Coyle, and then it would be Holla. But outside of Coyle, doesn't it feel like those last five spots are kind of just a hogposh, and it's up for grabs. And you know, you gotta wonder if that's also feeding into the way that they're playing. They know that every single game, you know, they're a colossal screw up from being yeeted. So they're all playing hard and they're all playing well.
Well, your third line right winger is Foligno, who's been out with an injury.
Okay. When he comes back, Do you see a possibility of Steen just sticking there and Foligno goes to the fourth line?
I mean, yeah, that could happen. Steen goes down to the fourth line and Foligno slots back.
Even more, yeah, so, yeah. You see the point. It's DeBrusque, Steen, Bleed, Frederick, Nosek, Lazar. Did I say Foligno?
Yeah.
That's not Coleman anymore, so that's one less. Well, that's still seven. Steen with Coleman, I think that's a big upgrade.
That's still seven guys. Yeah, DeBrusque, yeah. Steen, Bleed, Frederick, Nosek, Lazar, Foligno. That's seven guys for five spots. Because Coyle's not leaving that, spot.
No, Coyle's your
That's seven guys for five spots, and arguably, I mean, Nosek's been good, but his spot's not even guaranteed because Lazar could slide over and play center. It can be a constant changing thing. I would say now DeBrusk's spot is probably solidified for the foreseeable future. Maybe probably until March 21st or whatever it was. Probably till the middle of March. That spot is probably so four guys and or four spots and eight guys. It could literally be a different combination every single night, which is good for them for this upcoming schedule that they find themselves facing here in the next 6 weeks or whatever it is. And they play it honestly it's gonna seem like they play every single night. For the entire month of February.
Good.
Which is good for us. And for those of us who watch the games, those are good for us. Wapa. And so
I watched that Nashville game.
Wow. Just for Duchesne.
Yep.
Must have broke your heart when he hit the crossbar in overtime.
Dude, I was so not that, but I was pissed. I'm like, oh my god, Nashville scored, and I'm like, oh, who's this guy? Sizens. Cool beans.
Cody Sizens?
Yeah, whatever his name is. Taking my goals, but
I panicked again. I thought I froze. I was like, "You're kidding me!" The anchor on my face was about to come out. It's Sissons, by the way, Colton Sissons. I was blanking on his name. I was like, Cody, and then I was thinking Cody CC because you effed his name up so bad. So I was thinking, and I'm like, wait a second, he's a defenseman. He doesn't even play for Nashville. Colton Sissons.
What kind of last name is Sizens? Sissons.
Sissons.
Where's he from?
I don't know. Look it up.
It's from Weymouth.
He's the Bruins' second line center next year.
Yeah, they're gonna.
Honestly, the Nashville team to me feels like a bunch of guys like him. It's just like who?
They all just seem to put in the puck in the net and what's his name? Soros, good goalie.
You guys can continue. Continue this conversation about the bottom six. One sec.
Travis leaving us.
Bye.
So, here's what we should do is when he gets back, we should pretend like he's frozen.
Right.
That would be good. So.
It's more fun just watching him.
I got an ice cream delivery.
You're going to have to cut that part out because we're like, what the hell is he doing?
We literally just watched you.
Can you cut that part out? Normally I'm able to just talk and ramble, but
something happened. I was just very curious of what was going on.
Keep it on the YouTube. It's an ice cream delivery, ice cream cone.
Dude, my roommates
went to ice cream and they got me a cone.
Like 5 degrees out.
They got me a cone and then they dropped it in a cup so it didn't spill everywhere while they were driving.
Are you cutting this part out?
This could stay on the YouTube. I'll leave the whole thing on here. I don't care.
He usually does.
Yeah. What do I care? I mean, the only thing I'm gonna go back and edit out is when I lagged out. But other than that, it's called entertainment. It's real. It's real, authentic entertainment.
So, real world road rules. Full hearts can't
challenge.
We'll give the people a little insight into our lives. We always just talk hockey. We never really talk about ourselves.
I mean, who gets a random ice cream delivery at 8?
You want to know how Trav's going to get canceled? It's the fact that he gets soft serve in a cup.
Well, no. That's not what happened. Okay, what happened was I wanted it in a cone, but if I don't go to get it, then it's just going to melt by the time they leave and then they get. So I said, okay, if you're going to get it on a cone, which they told me they were going to Cold Stone. So I said, never mind. So pleasant surprise. But so you put the cone, you put it on the cone, and then so it doesn't all it's melting in the bowl right now. So you drop it in the bowl so it doesn't melt everywhere.
Where'd they get it from? Springfield? Like how far was this drive? They
can put it on Daddy's Dairy, I think. I don't know.
I hate that name.
Yeah, not great.
You hate that name.
It's like a chain ice cream. There's like three or four of them in this.
If I put that into my GPS,
there's one in Braintree too. It's in this general area. Daddy's Dairy. Pretty sure that's what it is. I'm almost positive it's Daddy's Dairy.
I'm not going there, and I hate it every time.
Turn safe search on.
Oh God! Clear the browser history for that one.
There's three of them. One in Braintree, one in Randolph, and one in Brockton.
Every time the Bruins get a power play, you can retweet for a pint of Daddy's Get first ice cream, correct?
Free plugs. Anyways, bottom six is what you guys were supposed to be talking about. It'll be a surprise for me when I go back and listen.
just silence, dude. But yeah, supposedly.
The two of us are just like, what is he doing?
Oh, man. You guys are good. I'm glad that I could take an episode off, and you guys would, like, that would be a good episode, huh? You guys just...
You did.
Oh, I know. Good thing Court was there.
No, I prepared that one, and I had plenty of different topic notes.
Yeah.
We've already gone through all my notes for tonight.
I didn't know. I thought they were getting Cold Stone, so... Surprises for everyone. This is gonna be a good. This is a good behind the scenes YouTube one. This is a good app. This is a good little off the rails type stuff. We're working. You know what I mean? We're working.
We're getting into our groove. You know, two episodes of.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, we were talking about this, and again, we're going off the rails and behind the scenes, but we're like, well, if we record every week, we're gonna run out of stuff to talk about, and then you guys are like, we're never gonna run out of stuff to talk about. Someone will give me an ice cream delivery, and then we'll just get derailed for 10 minutes, and then come back.
Also, to you know, social media plug. Big Country and I, having done, streaming, you just get used to talking to yourself and also filling time in about nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, filibuster. I need you to literally. How long did that take? I put my headphones on the stand and I walked to my door, opened the door, grabbed it, and then walked back in. What was that? 30 seconds? Yeah. You couldn't even filibuster me for 30 seconds.
To be fair, I didn't want to.
Oh, were you just trying to stare?
No, we were
like,
just more intrigued.
I charged by the word that
you were doing.
I want to go back and look at the YouTube and just see how close you guys got to your monitor to figure out what was going on. Just like, huh?
Well, when you charge by the word, I just, you know, I don't want you to go over.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. That's written word, though. It's not not spoken word. So You're going to have to expand on your Should Your Bruins Trade Charlie McAvoy article if you want to get that payday.
As long as he has come in, I'm good. I was wondering, Trav always asks us, hey, can you guys write articles? So my guy, I get a perfect idea for one, you know, clickbaiting. It's going to say, should the Bruins trade Charlie McAvoy? And so we're going to post that. It's going to go everywhere. You're going to click into the article, and it's going to be one word, no. You know, my skills at the bottom. And we're like straight up, just because I think you get paid on the. We're just going to be stealing from your advertisers. But I don't know.
Anyways, do you want to talk about the bottom six? Where do you want to go from here, honestly? You guys can control the rest of the show. Where do you want to go?
I have a non-Bruins, more of a hockey, about the Hockey Diversity Alliance. I think that was like a something that had come up. Have you heard about that?
No. Yes, I have.
So for folks, and I think it's important to talk about, not just because of the message, but I think there's like an interesting like tidbit about the NHL's involvement or lack thereof in it. So the HD, the Hockey Diversity Alliance, they basically, it's a lot of players of color, and they are working with Budweiser. And I know, like, you know, Dumba's in it, Kadri's in it, and they were able to create a commercial. They put it out on social media. I think they had a censored version for TV because they use a lot of uncomfortable language, like text and things they actually see online that's like super derogatory to them, to kind of illustrate the fact that they play hockey, they play a professional sport, and they get a lot of like unnecessary hate. And I definitely urge everyone to go and check that out. I'm not going to use the language that's used in there. But they did they sold a tape. So it's a hashtag tape out hate, and the tape says, like, you know, like, tape out, like, racism in hockey, racism in no place, and it's a really good message for hockey tape. And I think they sold out. So it shows, like, people are, like, really, like, supporting, you know, this type of initiative. And seems like it's been very successful so far. Even on Twitter, it's got over 1 million views, and it only came out on the 8th. So it's good that people are sharing it and, you know, supporting.
HockeyDiversityAlliance.com. Yes. And it looks like a merch too. .org. I'm sorry. .org. Yep. .org. HockeyDiversityAlliance.org. Looks like they have sweatshirts and hats and.
There's also former players there. I don't have the.
I have the list here.
Who was involved in the commercial?
Oh, I don't know. I just have the founders,
you know,
here.
Like Wayne Simmons was.
Yeah. So it's Akeem Alou, who's the guy that plays for the Canadians, or played for the Canadians. He was actually born in Nigeria. He moved to Canada, but he is Nigerian born, and it's him, Evander Kane, Trevor Daly, Anthony Duclair, Matt Dumba, Nazem Kadri, Wayne Simmons, Chris Stewart, and Joel Ward, which is a good group of, I mean, this is actually fitting with the Willie O'Ree stuff coming up for the Bruins here, but it's a good group of good players. And I mean, Evander Kane has his off the ice stuff, but it's still a good group of players and a good group of voices. So,
and I know, you know, I said a lot of people are definitely supporting it. Like, they sold out of the tape, the NHL. So in the commercial, they're wearing black jerseys with white trim with the HDA logo on it. Mm-hmm. And apparently, Hakeem Olivier kind of mentioned it, I think, in a Canadian. I don't have the article, shocker. But they had an interview with, and they said that the NHL like didn't let them use their jerseys for this, like the logos.
Really?
So I'll try to find it. It wasn't like, it's not highlighted on their Twitter because again they want to. But
so they're not allowed affiliation with the NHL.
No, which is unfortunate because the NHL has talked a lot about, you know, hockey's for everyone.
Inclusion, yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't know why, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to pretend to know why. I'm not going to even get to speculate.
They have some pretty formidable partners.
It's just, this is a fact that they could not use their own jerseys for the teams they play for in promoting this type of message.
Interesting.
So that's something I thought was interesting. Again, I'm not even going to speculate. I don't know the details. You know, we weren't involved in that, but it's just something I want to bring up. But definitely check it out as well. I think it's super important. You know, definitely, you know, watch the I think it's only like a minute and a half, 2.5 minute video they put out. But yeah, it was something that happened recently. I thought the part with the NHL not like letting them use the logos was interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, no, you're not. I mean, you don't want to read too much into it because you don't know the background.
Again, we don't know about, but it's just it's something that happened. And like you said, tomorrow. They're retiring, you know, Willie O'Ree's number. So it's not like the NHL doesn't like support these types of initiatives.
Right,
but the fact that they didn't support this one, it was surprising.
You know what we're gonna do is we're gonna put a link to this. So on our website we have obviously BostonSportsSyndicate.com. When we post new articles, we post a little like recap basically with links to follow to listen to find our shows to get to our shows and all that kind of stuff. And what I'll do is I'll put the link to find Hockey Diversity Alliance. .org into that post, so you can just find it right there. And then Big Country, I'm sure we'll put it into the YouTube description as well. So good job, Waba. Good find, good way to bring it to light.
Yeah, no, it's important. And you know, I've seen a lot of it the past like this commercial the past week. Like, you know, again, like, you know, I'm close with a lot of like the NHL content creators, but you know, you have people kind of like sharing this and sharing like their own stories as well, you know, if they're you know, part of a similar type of, you know, group. So it's been kind of it's been enlightening to say the least.
Yeah.
Just because it's not something I experienced firsthand.
Of course. Good. Yeah, like I said, good one. Scotiabank, Kraft Heinz, and Budweiser are their partners, by the way. So some three heavy hitters there. And they do have a shop, so I'll be ordering a sweatshirt shortly. But, yeah, good find.
I just can't order tape because I don't play real hockey. So
I didn't see tape. They give you a warning that they're behind on like the sweatshirts and stuff, but I don't see tape. They have stickers and patches, headwear. I didn't see tape. I know tape out hate was their little hashtag, but I'll look for it. But either way, Big Country, you have anything else? I don't know how you follow that, truthfully, but
yeah. I know, especially, well, you know, talk about the NHL just with their head up their ass even further. You guys follow any of this NHL All-Star selections?
Look, I want to wait. I do. I want to wait on this because I want to.
Can you give us a teaser, though? I just want
to. Look, 3-on-3, the 3-on-3 thing was cute until they put it into the game. Like, now it's time to move on. And honestly, what I think they should do, I'm saving it. Because I want to talk about it more when we get closer to the All-Star game. Lots of snubs. Marchand deserves to be there, number one. but it's time to change it. Like, it's time to change it. Nathan MacKinnon had the best quote. And I feel very strongly about what Nathan MacKinnon said. And I'm not even going to tell you. That's a tease for when we actually talk about it.
Dang, Big Country, what was your
angle?
Unless you have something you want to say,
I'll hold off.
Because you know the rosters are going to change.
My Marchand take then.
Well, you know the rosters are going to change. And one other thing I want to say, I think it's the Central. Go look at that roster. The Central must blow because that roster is not good. It's like 15 first year players. They're like, it's not a good roster. I don't want to get going on this. I don't want to. I want to save it. I want to build the energy on it. And when we get closer to the All-Star game, that's when I want to do it.
I like the skills competition.
That's like the only
that's what I think they should do. It should just be the skills competition. That's part of it. Is that it should they should just have the skills competition. It should just be on Sunday. But also, if they're gonna do it, it needs to be the actual fastest skaters in the league, not just because like McDavid is an All-Star, McDavid gets to skate. Like if there's someone in the league who's faster than McDavid, then they should be able to skate too. That's how I feel.
But they won't let me lace it up just because I don't have a pro contract yet.
Oh, the wheels are turning.
I love when you guys good job, Big Country. That's a good way to get them fired up.
I'm not falling for it.
Is that ice cream still is it melted because of all the fire coming out of that mouth?
It's half and half. I gotta finish this up so I can eat it now. You know, it's a little soupy, but we'll get through it, I think. But yes, I do want to talk about the All-Star game, but I almost want to do a whole episode on the All-Star game. That's how strongly I feel about the All-Star game.
Then I will save my take for that.
Perfect. Excellent. Where can we find you on social media?
Who's you?
Oh, good question. Can't see who I'm looking at. Protecting the eyes. Ryan, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at youtube.com, BigCountry7914. You can also find this episode as well over there. If you want to watch us, just stare at Trev when he goes to his door to get ice cream. And the faces we make during the podcast kind of get a little glimpse at us, you know, our personalities. Instead of just listening to us, you get to now see us. So yeah, youtube.com.
What a treat! What a treat these three look like, huh? What a treat!
Yeah, right. I know.
Waba.
You can find me at twitch.tv/WabaPlays. Waba Plays on all socials: YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, technically TikTok, all that fun stuff. Playing NHL with my 94 Marchand and soon to be 99 Duchesne. Hopefully by when you listen to this. Go Preds.
And as always, you can find us, BostonSportsSyndicate.com. You can find Bleed Black and Gold on Twitter at BBNG Podcast. You can find us on Twitch at BBNG Podcast. Not much content coming out there, but you can still find us there if you want to shoot us a follow. And you can find me on Twitter at Vintage_Trav. And Boston Sports Syndicate on Twitter and Instagram at Boston Sports SYN. But you can get all this information very easily if you head over to the BostonSportsSyndicate.com website, and you'll be able to find all of us. So I appreciate you guys for taking the time. Another peek behind the curtain. I have an LG playoff game in about a half an hour. So, you know, look at me go. Yep, big game three matchup. So we're down 0-2 in the series. But anyway, but we haven't played yet. So here we are. But, I appreciate you guys, and hopefully this episode turns out, gets piecemeal together, and, you know, I think the YouTube would be a good way to go for this one. You can just see the whole thing happening and unfolding, because it was an eventful one. But then again, if it's not the webcam recording, then we might as well just be able to mess it up a different way and piecemeal it together.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I appreciate you guys, and thank you out there, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Go Beast.